Wayne for that powerful, powerful rendition. There is nothing to fear, everything to just celebrate and be grateful for. What a glorious day. Come on in, people. I see people coming in. I love it. I love it. I love it. I just want to say thank you. I see Miss Elsie. You made it back for Easter Sunday this morning. Thank you. I love it when our seniors can get out and come and be amongst us. So we're thankful that you're here. And thank you, Susan, for bringing her as well. I see wonderful. I see Eleanor and some other ladies with their hats on and their Easter bonnets. So thank you for wearing your Easter bonnets and your Easter finest. Yes. So thank you. Thank you for dressing up, getting gussied up. I thought I would get gussied up this morning because this is truly a tremendous day. And I want to greet you in the name and through the spirit and power of the resurrected Christ. That Christ, that spirit, that energy, that essence that indwells us. And this is a special day because we remember today that Christ the Lord is risen and resurrected, not only in the world, but in us as well. And we are here to do a mighty work through the presence and power of Christ in us, as the scripture says, our hope of glory. What a tremendous week this has been. It's been called Passion Week, but I like the title of Holy Week. And I like that we call it Holy Week because there are so many miracles and really earth-altering and earth-shattering events that have taken place during this past week. Events that have altered forever our sense of spirituality. These events changed our consciousness. They changed just what we believe is possible when we go all in for God. You know, what can happen to our lives when we commit ourselves to the nth degree to touch and express the power of the risen and living Christ in us and through us? And that what changes can take place in the world and in our lives when we take on the mantle of the Christ consciousness. See, Jesus took on that mantle. I like to tell people that Christ was not Jesus' last name. People think, oh, it's Jesus Christ, like Sylvia something. No, no, no. This was a statehood, a state of consciousness that he achieved, but he had to put on that identity. He had to be bold and step into that awakening of himself as the one who was anointed by God. The Christ in him. So much so that Charles Filmer used to say you couldn't tell where Jesus and Christ started or ended. He melded into his highest potential of who he was in God. And we're called to do that as well. This is our day to remember we too have the power to step into our true identities, our true nature as Christed beings. Divine creations of the Most High God. Now, out of all the stories in the Bible, the events surrounding the crucifixion and the resurrection probably move me the most. And it's the story, it's what they say, it's the greatest story ever told. And I like to read the scriptures at this time and hear the message and hear the story because there's always something new that I pick up. And this story, this telling of this event, of this Passion Week, this Holy Week, from Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and today, Resurrection Sunday. This week, this story that happens, it gives us an insight into the highest teachings and the demonstration that not only Jesus as the Christ, as identifying himself as the Christ, was able to do, as being fully human and fully divine, because we get to see that portion, that notion of him during this week, fully human and fully divine at the same time. And what happens when we merge the two? You know, we are fully human and we're fully what? Divine as well. And so this week, this story tells the coming together of those two degrees of who we are, our own nature, as being fully human and fully divine. And the implication from this story is that we, as children of the Most High, we as divine creations of God, we too can not only carry that mantle, but we're called to put it on. We're called to put it on so that we can take the presence of God and do just as what Jesus said, that we shall what? Do as he did. And even what? Greater things. Now, how are we going to do the greater things unless we take the boldness to identify ourselves as creations of God, children of God, the Christ of God, putting on that mantle for ourselves boldly and proclaiming it? Yes, I am the Christ of God. See, a lot of times people think, oh, no, that's too much. You can't say that. You can't put that on. That would be blasphemy. Jesus said we were to follow him. So this is our day to recognize that we can boldly proclaim who we are in spirit. And along with putting on this mantle, along with putting on the energy that lies within us, comes the ability to also do the wonderful works. Miracles can happen when we put on the mantle of the Christ, right? Miracles can happen. And not only do miracles happen and infinite potential can be expressed through us, but this story and this mantle and this experience shows us the transformative power that comes through God in us. It is the transformative power even of life over death. The transformative power of life beyond death. The power of life into everlasting life, eternal life, the ongoing of life. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us to step into that awareness today. Now, the resurrection of Jesus as the Christ shows us that nothing is impossible with or to God. Nothing is impossible with or to God. And that when we put on that Christ identity and our own divine nature, then we too can overcome anything. We can overcome anything and everything. We can shake up this world. Shake up this world. I wrote here an affirmation. Today, I am a mover and a shaker. Let me hear you affirm. Today, I am a mover and a shaker. A mover and a shaker. Because I believe that this whole message that through the life of Jesus becoming and affirming the Christ shook up the world. He was here to shake up things, right? So I want us to look at some of these earth-shaking, earth-shattering events that took place during the Holy Week. And I want to start at the very moment of Jesus' death. And so sometimes when I'm talking about Jesus, I'm talking about what? The humanity, the man, right? Fully human, fully divine. So that fully human part of Jesus that was crucified, died on the cross. And so this is what happens. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and we're reading out of Matthew 27. And I'm reading from verse 50. And it says, then Jesus shouted out again. I've got competition. So that's okay. So then Jesus shouted out again and released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. So I want to stop right there for a moment before we continue the story. Because it says at the moment of his death, the first thing that happens was what? The curtain was in the temple was torn apart from top to bottom. Now, the curtain is a place in the temple that separated what the Israelites called the Holy of Holies. It separated the Holy of Holies from the other parts of the temple. And people were not allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies because that was the place supposedly where the presence of God resided and dwelled and was. And only the high priest of the temple could enter into the Holy of Holies. And he could only do it once a year at Yom Kippur. So he couldn't go in any other time, only once, to be in the presence of God. And when Jesus dies, the first thing he wants us to know by that whole action is the temple curtain is rented from top to bottom, not just a little bit, one little hole, a little rip, top to bottom. And what he was saying to us and to them is that there is no longer anything that can ever separate us from the presence and power of God. Right? It's torn in two. So the Holy of Holies is no longer just a place in the temple, but the Holy of Holies is available to everybody, to you and to me. Right? That's a powerful teaching. So that's the first thing that we get access directly to the divine presence of God, always and in always. Nothing. So, you know, probably the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like that. And a lot of people like to have an intermediary between them and God, the Holy of Holies. And Jesus was like, mm-mm. Everybody has direct access to God. And so that's the first act that happens after he has died. So I love this because what it tells me is that we are to continue to recognize that we have the ability and the blessing to always, I speak to the Spirit and God within me all the time, and I do get answers. I'm grateful and thankful that there's nothing that I have to do differently than to just reach out and to recognize, I am the temple. I am this holy vessel through which the Spirit lives and moves and what? Has its being in me, through me, as me. I have direct access. So that was powerful for us to understand. The Holy of Holies lies within us. Now, in addition to that, I thought, well, that just shook up the whole order of things, especially in their tradition. But then I'm thinking, it says after the curtain was written, torn in two, it says that the earth, right? That the earth shook, rocks split apart, tombs were opened, and bodies of the godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. And I thought, woo. Right? That's some powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. The earth, there's an earthquake. Things happen. Can you imagine? The energy was so powerful and so strong once it was available that it could shake the earth and split rocks and open tombs. Now that part, when I discovered that a couple of years ago, I thought, wow, this is really some powerful, powerful things. Because it says that the glory of men and women who had died before him were raised from the dead. And then it says that they, after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the city of Jerusalem, city of peace, and they were seen by many people. Now, this is a powerful event because this resurrection of these folks happened before Jesus himself was resurrected. that the mere event of the crucifixion was enough to automatically cause a resurrection even before he resurrected. So that it says, people of God, godly women, so people who were in a certain consciousness, immediately began to rise up before even Jesus was resurrected. That's powerful stuff. Because what that says to me is that we, godly people, have the ability to be resurrected over anything that life can bring us. Resurrected over fear. Resurrected over what's happening in the world today. Resurrected over all of that. That essence and power, the resurrecting power of the Christ, is available to all of us. And while Jesus was undergoing his resurrection into that, they had already jumped up, were whole and well. And I love the fact that it says they didn't move into the city, however. It says they didn't leave the cemetery until Jesus had resurrected. I said, well, at least they had respect. Okay, they showed him a little bit of respect. Because Jesus needed to be the one to show the power of resurrection. Because he was the one who said he was going to do it. He was the one who told them after 3 days, you can destroy this body if you want to, but after 3 days, I shall raise it up again. And not only did he say it, but he what? He did it. He was standing on business. Whose business? His Father's business. He was standing on it. So he needed to be the one, because people were expecting it or knew that he had said something of that nature. So he was the one to demonstrate it. But what it says to me, I want you to recognize now, you have resurrecting power in you right now. You have power to shake up your life right now. You can shake up this world right now. Right? You can be raised above from anything that causes you to feel that you're dead. Fear, doubt, limitation, what they're going to do next, which laws they're going to abolish next. Who cares? You will be able to resurrect above everything and anything that is shown in this world. So with that kind of power, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I be afraid? Right? Nothing to fear. So that's some powerful stuff right there. Right? The world has been shaken up. Now the next thing that happens, bear with me, because sometimes I need to see and sometimes I can't see with them on. So they left the cemetery. And then it says, and the Roman officer and the other officers of the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that happened. I want you to concentrate on this, that anytime there's anything of power and significance, an earthquake happens, right? So the soldiers were afraid that the earth was shaking and everything, tombs are open, and they're like seeing all this, right? And it says that they were terrified, and they said, this man truly was the Son of God. And many women who had come to Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph. I believe that those were Jesus' brothers. And the mother of James and John. And then it says, I want to make sure I'm continuing on the right story. Yes, 54. So it says, as evening approached, so this has all happened before. He's died, the curtain is rented, the rocks, earthquake, boom. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the 3rd day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." And then Pilate said, "Take the guards and secure the tomb the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted the guards to watch it. Now, I wanted to note the key people that were present for this, because it says that Joseph of Arimathea went to what? Request the body. Joseph, and then it said, who was also watching? Mary Magdalene. So I meditated, and the Spirit said, well, Joseph and Mary were two of the key figures at the birth of Jesus, right? When he was born, Joseph was his earthly father, and Mary was his mother. And they protected the child, and they did what they had to do, but they were present. But if you notice, at his death, who was there? A Joseph and what? A Mary. That the Josephs and the Marys were still there at the death as well as at the birth. Now, the beginning part of Joseph and Mary at the birth represent wisdom and love. And they have other meanings metaphysically, but I'm going to focus on the basic meanings of wisdom and love. Joseph and Mary, wisdom of love and love. But if you notice, at the end, it's a different Joseph, but it's Joseph of Arimathea and Mary Magdalene. Now, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich and wealthy man, metaphysically, as the Bible, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says, represents the imaging faculty functioning on a very high plane of consciousness. Because Arimathea means height. This is Joseph of a high consciousness. He received the body, that human part. Right? And so Jesus was received by a soul of what? High consciousness into a higher thought process. And who was there to witness and to watch was Mary, not necessarily Mary, his mother, but Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene was a powerful devotee, a disciple and a follower of Christ. Wherever he went, she was there too. Where he was, she was. She represents the soul's devotion. So Mary, his mother, represents that love, but it was Mary Magdalene that took it to another level, a level of devotion, a love that was going to be with him no matter what, which is why he appears to whom first in his resurrection? Mary Magdalene. And I was so pleased to note that the Catholic Church has finally done Mary some justice, Mary Magdalene. They offered, yes, indeed. They recognize that the portrayal of her as a prostitute, as a low-life woman, was done out of a desire to keep the patriarchy in place. And that Mary Magdalene, in fact, was a powerful woman. So much so that Jesus could understand her, she could understand him. They were on a vibratory rate of understanding beyond. She was beyond even most of the disciples in her level of understanding. And the early church couldn't have that. Couldn't have a woman. So they cast a light on her character and her name to cast her down, when in fact Jesus had always lifted Mary up. And they, short of offering an apology, but they have acknowledged, you can go look it up, they have acknowledged that they were wrong in doing that. Right? Can you imagine if the divine feminine had been given its rightful place in the story of Christendom? Woo! They were a team. Divine wisdom, divine love, right? High consciousness of Joseph of Arimathea, along with that devotion. She was a disciple, right? Not just John and Peter, but Mary Magdalene was a disciple, a follower whom Jesus revered as well. So I love it that the Josephs and the Marys were there at the beginning, and they were there at the end. So that's really a powerful expression for us to recognize that they elevated the consciousness, what those characters represent from Joseph and Mary as the parents, elevated through growth. And we are to elevate our character, elevate our consciousness, elevate our qualities, move them. So it's not just love, but actually moving into devotion. You know, not just wisdom, but moving into a higher state of consciousness. We should be growing and developing, even as Joseph and Mary concept developed into Joseph and Mary. Joseph of Arimathea and Mary Magdalene. Elevate the consciousness. But let's continue on the story. And this is Matthew 27, 62, which I read, but I'm going to read again to 66. Oh, okay. This is 62. The next day, on the Sabbath, and the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, remember what the deceiver once said." Now, they call him a deceiver. In some of the scriptures, they call him a liar. All these things. "Once said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise from the dead.' So we request that you seal the tomb on the third day, and this will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body and then telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. Because if that happens, we will be worse off than we were at first." And the other scripture versions from King James says, so if that happens, so at least his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people he has risen from the dead, so that the last deception will be worse than the first. And this one says here, "Then we'll be worse off than before, the final deceit surpassing the first." So I'm thinking, well, what is this final deceit? That he's what? Raised from the dead. That's going to supersede the first deceit. Can anyone think of what they considered his first deceit to be? Say it again. Being born? What did he proclaim? That I am the what? The Son of God. That's the first deceit that these Pharisees had a problem with. How dare you call yourself the Son of God? And Jesus would say sometimes, you know, "Don't tell anybody." And then he would tell it, but he would say, "Don't tell anybody." And people were beginning to believe that truly this man was what? The Son of God. But now, if he actually proved it, because if he was raised from the dead, he would do what? Be proving that first quote-unquote deception, that he was indeed the Son of God. And then that would be worse, because it would be no holding anything back then. They'd be worse off. And so I'm thinking that, you know, the deceivers were actually, because I don't know if we're going to get to that part of the story, but when it does happen, those Roman soldiers, they go back and, you know, they go back and when they wake up from fainting, from seeing the angel, we'll get to that. But they go back and they tell the Pharisees and the priests what had happened. And then they begin to deceive, to create a plot to deceive the people, right? So they are the deceivers. Reminds me of sometimes when people want to gaslight you. When they are doing all these things and trying to convince you that you're the ones doing it. And they'll call you the deceiver, when in fact he was truth through and through. So you have that happening. And this whole deception here going into being proved as a demonstration and a potential for that. So this is the power that we have, right, to beat seekers of truth, speakers of truth, livers of truth, demonstration of truth. You are a living demonstration of the truth. And when you start putting that on, I am the truth, right? That's what Jesus said. I am the truth, the life, the way, right? Nobody comes to God except through this presence of this Christ awareness. And so when we begin to stop deceiving ourselves by saying, I'm just human, I'm just this, you are fully human and you are fully divine. Christ in you is your what? Your hope of glory. Don't be afraid to put on that mantle, because that's what's being called. So, called for. So this whole thing of this Christ putting on this label that we are to follow him. We are to follow him. We're not just here to wait for the second coming. Jesus is waiting for us to come to the second realization of who we are as the Christ, right? We have come. He came to shake up the world, and we come to shake it up as well, right? And so let's continue to see what happens with this story. And so I'm reading now from Matthew, and this is 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Right? Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Remember what I have told you. And the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. And so I'm loving this thing with the angels, because the angel comes and we have another what? Another earthquake. See, the earthquake is representing the power of God. When God moves in your life and affairs, things are shaken up. When he moved, that expression of that curtain renting, boom, an earthquake happened. And now again, an angel comes, and an angel metaphysically is a high thought, one of the highest thoughts we can hold. And when we have these high thoughts, they can be earth-shaking. They can transform our whole lives because they're carrying with them the power and the energy of God. When you have a God thought, there is nothing and no one that can hold you back. When you have a God presentation, a revelation, an understanding, a high wisdom, a high consciousness, and an angel comes to your awareness, there is nothing that can stand between you and what you are to do and accomplish. Nothing. So that angel caused the earth to quake. And Jesus, of course, appears to the Marys. Jesus came to shake things up. And the angel was exhibiting this electrifying and lightning power of God. And I love that the scripture says he rolled the stone away and he sat on it, showing the power of God to overcome any obstacle. You can roll it on the way and then sit on it. You conquer it, right? You master it. You calm it. You change it. You transform it. If obliterate it, if you need to do that, whatever it is, that presence and power in you can overcome anything in the outer. So you could be like the angel. When that high thought comes, just sit on those lower vibrations. Sit on those fears. Sit on those doubts. Sit on the questioning that people have as to who you are and what you're doing. Sit on all of that stuff. Sit on what's happening in the world. Because you have a different motive and energy and essence about you. You've got the presence and power of God. Jesus, as the Christ, came to shake things up. It's the great awakening, but it's the great, what I call the great shakeup. The great shakeup. So what are you having to shake up in your life? What is Spirit calling to try to turn things around for you, topsy-turvy, giving you something you've never dealt before so that God can prove itself in and through and to you? Could be a diagnosis, and then God just flips it all around, and boom, I'm going to show you something else. What is it? Today, I'm a mover and a shaker. Let me hear you say it. Today, I'm a mover and a shaker. I'm a mover and a shaker. Things are being shaken up right now. It's all right, though, because we, too, are going to add some shaking up. We're here to bring some light and some truth, right? Don't fear the darkness that we see being made manifest on the earth, because there's a lot of it. But don't be afraid. You are the light of the world. You are the one who also have come to shake things up, right? Jesus stood on business. He did what he said he was going to do. And we have been called to do the same. This is our time to stand up, rise up, be lifted up, speak up, right? Shake it up. Whatever it is, this is ours to do. We are not waiting for the return of the Christ. Christ never left you. Right? He said, I am with you, what? Always, even unto the ends of the earth. We have that presence and power right here, right now with us today. And today is our day to remember it. Today is our day to celebrate it. Today is our day to affirm it. So on this glorious Easter morning, I'm all shook up. I'm all shook up. And I'm ready to go forth and do what is mine to do, for my way has been made clear. Christ in me, Christ in you, is your hope of glory. Let's be glorified this morning. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings. Yes, indeed. Blessings. Blessings.